a word from anybody else? Well, it's already been said. We appreciate each one that has come here tonight. Appreciate the visitors that are here. And Tyler, you don't have to apologize for nothing. Because when you stand and serve the Lord, and trying to serve Him, there's no need to make apologies for trying to sing for the Lord. You wasn't singing for us. Really, you were singing for the Lord. And you don't never have to make an apology for that. Never. Never. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Sing again for us some other time. If you got a song on your heart, this is the Lord's service. You do what you feel like you need to do.
A song when I first got saved is the next Sunday I sang it. It's one of my favorite songs that I've always loved to sing. I've got something that the world didn't give me. All right. I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. Yes, I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. It's love, sweet love, sent to me from my Father up above. It's love, sweet love, that's the one thing that the world could use a lot more of. I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. Yes, I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. It's peace, sweet peace, peace like a river that flows through the soul. It's peace, sweet peace, just how it feels, the world doesn't know. I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. Yes, I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. I do have something that the world didn't give me, and they can't take it away. Salvation.
Amen.
Thank Him for saving me.
Amen.
One of the truest friends I've ever had.
That's it. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate that one, too. Well, song got a lot of truth in it. A lot of truth. Once again, I'm saying it's good to be here tonight. Thanks so much for what I felt. Has anybody else got anything? Thing on your heart? Testimony? Word of praise? Another song? This is the Lord's service. Man. Follow the Lord. It's what you need to do. Don't quench the spirit. The Lord's here tonight. I feel Him in my heart. Something that the world didn't give me. Come from above. Come from above. Bless. Everybody's heart's free. Is anything you need to do. Oh. Requested to sing "He Touched Me."
Number 14 in the Heavenly Highway Hymns. Let's stand. Everybody stand. Shackled by a heavy burden, need the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. My soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Let's do the chorus again. He touched me, oh, He touched me. Floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. One more time, one more time. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Second verse again. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout while eternity rolls.
If you feel the need, you need to come pray, you come pray. Amen. You don't have to wait on the preacher. You don't have to wait on the preaching. Not any time. This altar is always available for you to come and bow and pour your heart out. Anybody got anything else? Are you free? Well, if you are, you're going to have to listen to me, I guess. For a little while anyway. Would y'all pray for me? A little bit of the background here before I begin. Brother Miller is standing here different times already tonight. He mentioned so many times about Paul. You know, Paul was a wonderful missionary. He was a great missionary. 13 of the books that we have in the New Testament, if you want to count Hebrews, there's 14, that he was the writer of them. I think he's got 14 books. There are people that argue that he's not the writer of Hebrews, and I'm not smart enough to know, but I believe he's a credit for all 14 of them. But you know what? He didn't start out that way. What we was able to fill in our hearts tonight, what I saw flowing over to your heart tonight, Brother Lowe, looked like your cup was running over. But we didn't start that way. We didn't ever feel that in the beginning of it. Something happened to us. Song was sang that was requested. He touched me. No matter how great of a missionary that Paul was, he didn't start out that way. Paul wasn't ashamed of his testimony, I can tell you that. He told it several times. And a little bit of background here, after, you know, Paul was saved, he started preaching the Word of God. He started preaching Jesus. And the Jews did not like what he preached. The chief priest did not like what he preached because he was preaching Jesus. And they pretty much went to the governor, went to Felix, and he was arrested. Felix held the same position basically what Pilate held when Jesus was falsely accused. And that's what they did with Paul. They falsely accused him of things. But all he was doing was preaching the truth, was preaching Jesus. And he was arrested, and Felix would never let him go. He held him in prison for about 2 years to satisfy the Jews and also because he wanted a ransom given. He was wanting Paul or somebody to pay for Paul's freedom. He was wanting for some money. So he was never released, but nevertheless, the office that Felix held, another man came in. His name was Festus. And like I said, these men, they were like governors. They were just like Pilate was. And you know, he uh, he talked to Paul, and Paul talked to him, and, you know, Paul that said, I want to go before Caesar. I don't want to go down and let the Jews, you know, go before that yet. I want to go before Caesar. Well, there was a king that came on the scene called King Agrippa, and he wanted to hear the same. He wanted to hear from Paul. He wanted to hear from Paul's mouth what was going on with him, and Paul began to talk to him here. And in the 26th verse, it talks about Paul being before Agrippa. And beginning with the first verse, 26th chapter, it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, and I'm going to read a little bit here, so y'all bear with me. It said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Says, especially because I know thee to be an expert of all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Says, my manner of life from my youth it was which at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, said I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God and to the fathers. That he's accused of the hope that was made unto them, of the promise made of God to the fathers. And you can go in there and there's all kind of references that he's talking about, talking to the Jews of the promises that was made. And I just want to flip over here in chapter 9 because so many of you have heard this. You children, so many of you had heard this. And listen to this promise in chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us is a child born, unto us is a son given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We're talking about Jesus here, people. We're talking about Jesus here, the promise, and here that Paul was standing and preaching Jesus, and they wanted to arrest him. They wanted to put him to death. There were those that that made an oath. Talks about 40 men made an oath that they was going to lay by the side wanting to get him released, basically. And when they released Paul, they was going to kill him. They was going to murder him because of him preaching Jesus, preaching the truth. Verse 7, it says, into which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. What did I tell you a while ago? He didn't start out like he finished. He did not start out like he finished. Said, I verily thought with myself that I'll not do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blasphemy, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even into the strange cities. Not even just the big cities, but he even went to the small cities, the strange cities. He says, wherefore, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Yeah. Said, I saw from a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. And them which journeyed with me, and we were all fallen to the earth, and I heard a voice. Yeah. He heard a voice He heard a voice saying in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive for forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith." Have we not preached faith since we've started this? Amen. Have we not preached faith? Have we not preached repentance? But you got to have that faith. You got to trust in Him. You got to trust in Jesus. It says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And he went on, and he continued to talk to Agrippa. And the things that he was telling Agrippa, old Festus butted in and said, "Paul, you're mad." When he was witness to Agrippa, Festus said, "Paul, you're mad of the things that you're talking about." He didn't even understand. But down here at the 27th verse, Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost." Get that? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." King Agrippa heard the things that Paul told him. He witnessed to him. He testified. But as I said, in these scriptures, you realize that Paul even testified that there was a time in his life that he was a Pharisee and that he was out to persecute the church, those that believe and trusted in Jesus, and to persecute those that preach Jesus. He was out to kill them and to throw them into prison. There's one that he consented into his death, and I want to turn over there to that because I love these scriptures here. Stephen was arrested for what he believed. Stephen was arrested and was stoned because he believed in Jesus and preached Jesus. But this is what I love. 55th verse, chapter 7. He said, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God." It didn't say everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, but Stephen's heart was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and then the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Can you even imagine that? Stephen's death, he was fixed to be stoned to death. He was being persecuted because of what he believed. But you know what? Jesus opened up the heavens, and when he was looking up, he was able to see Jesus on the right hand of God. And that's what we're preaching today. That Jesus still lives. Even though he died and buried and was put in that tomb and rose the third day, he lives today. Amen. When Stephen looked up into heaven, what he saw was real. God blessed him. He let him see just a little bit of it before he died. But you know why Stephen was able to see that? You know why Stephen was able to experience that? Because of the faith that was in his heart. He didn't look down at the ground. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. Because, you know, he knew that's where Jesus ascended to after he walked upon this earth for 40 days. He knew where Jesus was. He had faith in his heart where Jesus was. But you know what? Jesus even revealed it to him before he ever died that he was on the right hand of the Father. And he's on the right hand of the Father today, right now. Believe it. It's true. Over here in John, so often we talk about the John 3:16. And I believe that's taken out of text so much. And yeah, we believe, but there's so many people that just see these signs. And I've said this before. Some of you have heard it, that you see it on TV, you see it at ball games, you see it on kinds of things. John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's true. It's true. And it talks about whoever so believeth. But so many people believe up here. If you're not saved, your problem is you're believing it up here. You haven't let the Lord have it here in your heart. That's where you got the Lord have it. But it's the verses after that that we need to continue with. It said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, sinner, you're condemned. You're already condemned. Brother Lowe was talking about that it's been preached about, that hell's been preached about, and yeah. Many of y'all have heard me say this before. I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach the devil. I'm going to preach heaven. I'm going to preach hell. You can't take none of without the other, because it's all the Word of God. It's all truth. They all exist. You got to know about them all. You got to understand about them all. How would anybody really ever be convicted of their sins and have that trouble really set up in their heart if all a preacher would ever do would just stand and preach the love of God in heaven? I tell you what convicted my heart. I tell you what troubled my heart. Was the preaching of hell, hell fire, an eternal hell fire, an everlasting hell fire. I'm not going to quit preaching it. They can try to shut my mouth the way they tried to shut Paul's mouth. That's what they tried to do. Because Paul was preaching the truth. I am going to preach it. The only way they can take my speech from me is maybe cut my tongue out or kill me like they was wanting to do Paul. But I'm going to preach it till the day I die if the Lord allow me to do it. But no man's going to shut me up. I know it's easy to say up here, but I'd be willing to go to prison for my Lord and Savior to stand for what's right. There's so many today that won't. But I'm willing to stand for the truth up here tonight, just as Paul stood for the truth. He wouldn't change for what he believed. He wouldn't change for what he was saying. That's one reason he stayed in prison. But eventually he did get released. But something happened to this man. What happened to him? On that road to Damascus, he was born of the Spirit. He was born of God. I was born of the Spirit. I was born of God. Everybody that everybody that's here tonight was able to relate to that song, He Touched Me. that you know without a shadow of a doubt in your heart that he touched you, that something happened to you. We have a testimony. Paul had a testimony and tried to explain to Agrippa what happened to him. That it was real and what he preaches is real and that Jesus is real. It's not a made up fable. It's not some story some man created up. Jesus is real. He lives today. You got to believe it. You got to trust it all with your heart. He's real. You that are lost, that think that you're so good, that you haven't really done nothing bad. I've done told you this too. The unbelievers have a place in hell. Jesus said he's gone away to prepare a place in heaven. But the ones he's gone to prepare a place for those that have been covered by the blood. That's who he's prepared a place for. Brother Lowe done said he's never read the scriptures anywhere where heaven had to enlarge yourself. But the scriptures do teach us, Brother Lowe, that hell's enlarging herself. Scriptures the other night talk about the narrow gate. Talk about a few. When you think about the population of the world from the beginning of time, I'm talking about go back to the beginning of time from Adam and Eve on to where we are today. Think about all the people that has been born into this world, all over this world, not just our nation, but think of all the souls that have been born in this world. And you think about only few will find it. Yeah. Not many. Why is that? Why will only few get in through the narrow gate, straight gate? Because the rest of them reject the word of God. Because the rest of them refuse to believe the prophets. Because the rest of them today refuse to believe the preachers. That's why hell's enlarging herself. Not because of so many, how many people are committing crimes. I told you the other night that you know the Lord's willing to save murderers, whoremongers. Look at this man right here. When I talk about anybody that could be saved, this man persecuted those that served Jesus. Persecuted them. Consented into their death. Had them stoned. Had them cast into prison. You can't tell me God ain't merciful. When you see the things he did as a Pharisee, thinking in his mind he was doing the right thing. But you know what? You know what the problem was with the Pharisees? They were self-righteous. They thought because of them obeying the law and studying the law and knowing the Old Testament and knowing the laws that they were the chosen people, that they're the ones that were the ones that was going to end up in heaven. But Jesus, he denounced them many times. He called them hypocrites. Why? Because they were like, look at me. Watch me pray. Watch me stand on the corner and look the way I am. Look at me. But they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. It was just an outward appearance is all it was. That's what happened to me when I said I was all right. Got baptized in a church years ago. All Buddy had done was trying to change the outward man. When I was baptized, all I did was get wet. It didn't mean nothing. Because baptism does mean something. Baptism don't save you. It's what happens to you before you get baptized. Amen. It's the symbolic thing that we're supposed to do is after we're saved and we stand and give a testimony of salvation, then we're to be baptized showing what happened to us. But the Pharisees were self-righteous. If you're not saved and there's something standing in your way, maybe you're self-righteous because you think you're so good that you haven't really done that much bad, you hadn't done nothing wrong, that you're going to make it to heaven. I got news for you. If you ain't been covered by the blood, if you ain't been born again by the Spirit, you're not getting there. Something has got to happen to you. It's real. I want to flip over here. And oh, I love this verse. It's because you know why I love it? Because I experienced it. Because I felt it. Because I know it's real. And y'all have heard this before. If you read the Word of God, you know it. Verse 8, 3rd chapter of John. It said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind. Let me explain that to you. A lot of people say, I hear these young people, they say, well, the way they talk back then, I have trouble understanding that. Thou and this and all this. Well, let me explain it to you. We can't see the wind, can we not? We can't see it. But we see the effects of the wind. We feel the effects of the wind. We can go outside and we can see the trees moving. Right now, the wheat is at a beautiful state right now as it's growing in the fields. And when the wind gets to blowing, you see the wheat just swaying back and forth. It's a beautiful sight. What's moving at? The wind. Can you see the wind? No. Can you look and see it coming? No, you can't. Can you see where it's going? No, you can't. Can't do it. But you see the effects of the wind. When you go out in the cold, they talk about the chill factor. We can go out and it be cold. If that wind ain't blowing too bad, it ain't really that bad. But you go out when that wind's blowing, you feel the effects of it. It's a whole lot colder, it seems like, but you feel the effects of the wind when it's blowing. We feel it on our face. We feel it on our bodies. But you know what? We still cannot see it. He went on to say, likewise, that everybody that is born of the Spirit. Amen. So what's he saying? It means when you get saved by the grace of God, you might not seen it coming, but when you fully trust with him with all your heart, you feel it. Amen. You feel it in your soul. It's real. What I felt in my heart, the Lord saved me, it was real. It was after the fact that I realized where it really come from. I didn't see it, but it was after the fact that I realized and really understood that it came from the Spirit of God. He let me know. He let me feel it. He will let you know. Brother Miller preached that last night. Preached his heart out. Preached ain't the message. He will let you know. I'm telling you here tonight, it is real. When the Lord saved my soul, it was real. When he called me to preach his word, it was real. Brother Klein, was it real? It's real. When the Lord called me to preach his word, I've got a time and place when that happened. Just like the time and place where the Lord saved my soul, I've got a time and place where he let me know he wanted me to preach his word. Now, it was a sad day. It was. It was a sad day. He called me to preach his word on a Christmas morning. That should be a joyous day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But I got a telephone call early Christmas morning, 1994. It was a call that I wish I didn't ever have to get. My sister called me and told me, "Buddy, Brian's dead." The firstborn of my family as my nephew and my nieces. He was the firstborn. He just barely turned 21. And she called to tell me that he was dead. And I got my clothes on and I told her I'm on my way. He was shot. Shot in the head early Christmas morning. Don't really know all the details. They end up ruling it accidentally, but the thing is, he died. And I was headed down the ramp, getting on 65 out here on Scottsville Road on exit 22. And I was bawling. But you know why I was bawling? Not so much that I'd lost my nephew. He was almost like my son. His dad never had the time of day for him. He never done things with him, but never done things for him. His daddy and my sister divorced earlier in his life. And I always got out and played with him and took him hunting with me and just done all sorts of things with him. At his funeral, one of his friend's mother saw me, and when I walked up, she says, "Well, you're his daddy, aren't you?" I said, "No." She said, "Boy, y'all look just alike." I was close to him. He was the firstborn of my nieces and nephews. But that day going down, getting on that ramp at that interstate, the reason my heart was broke so, it's because I never heard a testimony from him. In my heart, all I was thinking that he died and he went to hell. And my heart was broke. Because I wanted, when the Lord saved me, I wanted everybody to have what I have, especially my family. But as best of my knowledge, he died without ever knowing Jesus. And as I was headed down that ramp, the Lord said, "That's what I want you to do, is preach to the lost." I run from it for a long time, a couple of years. I'd brush it off. I'd make excuses thinking, "Lord, you don't want me to preach your word." It was just the trauma that I went through, the way my heart was broke. That's all it was. But I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get rid of it. I finally had a heed to his calling, and I failed shortly so many times. I don't feel I'm even deserving to stand up here tonight and try to preach his word. I feel so unworthy of how I've come up short. But sinner, what I want you to know, salvation is real. Yeah, if you die without God and you die without Jesus, you're going to end up in hell. But it don't have to be that way. God gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to us. that we might have life after death, that heaven would be our home. Don't you want that? How many of you that haven't got a testimony, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you that ain't got a testimony that you want to die and go to hell? Every one of you that want to do that, raise your hand. Come on. I don't see no hands. But I see those that have never put their faith and trust in the Lord that you can get to heaven. It's what you got to do. You didn't raise your hand, so evidently you don't really, really want to die and go to hell. So my advice to you tonight is you better do something about it and get right with God before it's too late. Brother Stroh. Seek the Lord while you can. Seek the Lord while you have the opportunity. Because you might not never get it again. Get rid of your stubbornness and bullheadedness and whatever it is that you hold on to. Get rid of it, because as long as you hold on to it, you're not going to get saved by the grace of God. You've got to be obedient to Him. Get rid of whatever it is that's standing in your way. Come to the Lord with all your heart, believing and trusting that He'll save you and He'll take care of it. And I tell you what, if you believe with all your heart, He's going to do it.
Amen.
He's going to do it. But you got to trust Him. You got to be obedient to the Lord. Seek after Him. Brother Stroh.
Number 22. Everybody stand. One day I came to Him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet He made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, said the King of He brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne up above. Like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet He made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet He sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In His great thirst, He brought water to me.